Everybody, excuse me, thank you. It's just gone 6:30. Thank you everyone for attending this latest meeting of the Cabinet and welcome to our visitors today. We'll go through the agenda. Item 1, minutes of the 5th of October 2023, circulated and published on the 6th of October. Is everyone happy that I signed the minutes? Okay, we'll do that. Item number 2, apologies.
Jackie?
No apologies. Item number 3, councillors' question time. Anything?
None.
No. Thank you very much, Jackie. Then it's the cabinet members' proposals. We start off with 4A, which is resources portfolio, and it's I, and it's final accounts 22-23. Councillor Cook.
Thank you very much, Leader. I'm pleased to present the final outturn position for 2022-2023. With the recommendation that A, the final outturn position for the year ending 31st March 2023 be noted, and that B, the financing of the capital programme as outlined in the report be approved. The reason for recommendation B, Leader, is that the budget report set out an indicative capital programme and financing. And this report sets out now the actual capital spend and therefore financing to be approved. So I'm asking for that recommendation to be approved as well. This report covers the following accounts. One, the general fund revenue account, which shows, of course, the net cost of providing day-to-day services. Secondly, the business rates retention. Thirdly, the capital expenditure and how it is financed. And fourthly, the collective fund. I would add the accounts are still subject to audit, but no changes in the figures are anticipated that would impact upon council taxpayers. Well, if we look to begin with at the Stafford Preliminary Outturn 2022-23 table on page 5, paragraph 5.6 shows that net expenditure, including investment income, technical financing adjustments, and the use of government grants, was £728,000 less than the budget. 5.6%, actually, which is an interesting number. Paragraphs 5.7 and 5.8 explain this further. Paragraph 5.9 shows the expenditure of each portfolio. Paragraph 5.10 sets out a table summarizing the performance of the main streams of income against budget. And paragraph 5.11 gives further information. Paragraph 5.12 points out, points to Appendix 1. For a more detailed explanation for all expenditure and income, variations greater than £10,000 and 10% for each portfolio. So now, Leader, I turn to working balances. Paragraph 5.13 shows a contribution to working balances to the general fund of £738,000. Resulting in a 2.569 million, that's just over £2.5 million balance, as of 31st March 2023. As the Council's policy is to keep a working balance of £1 million, and that's been the case for many years now, virtually just over £1.5 million transfer will be used to support service delivery and council priorities. And work is ongoing with members as part of budget setting to identify specific programs that they would like to see some of the monies allocated to. Now, Leader, I turn to business rates retention. As members will know, the business rates retention scheme forms part of the current financing regime for local government and incentivizes, in fact, councils to promote economic growth in their area, as they are entitled to retain a share of business rates growth. Paragraph 5.15 lists the local groups together with central government who share the income from business rates. Paragraph 5.16 and 5.17 deal with the business rates growth figures and the business rates pool balance. Next, we move to the capital outturn. Now, the council approves the capital programme for the financial year as part of the budget process, and the amount that can be spent is limited, of course, by the amount of capital resources we have available to the council. The 22-23 capital programme was approved in February 2022 and was updated as part of the revised budget set as part of the 23-24 budget cycle. And paragraph 5.19 explains why there can be considerable variations over this 18-month period. It's a pretty long period to actually budget for, and there are bound to be things which are going on in that 18 months which are unforeseen, unexpected, but which are going to have impacts on the estimates. Now, paragraph 5.20 shows that the council spent £2.369 million on capital projects in 22-23. Which was £2.667 million less than the budget. So it really came in very much under budget, but the budget was just over £5 million, £5,036,000. So there was quite a lot left over. Now, the main reasons for these differences are covered in that paragraph 5.20, together with the capital outturn position for each of the portfolios. But it is something I think we would need to look at carefully in future. There seems to be an awful lot of slippages in that capital programme. Paragraph 5.21 lists the major items of spend in the year and points to Appendix 2 for the detailed capital programme outturn for 2022-23, along, of course, with explanations for the major variations, and they need to be looked at, I think. So paragraph 5.22 shows how the capital programme has been financed. So now, Leader, I turn to the collection fund. Paragraph 5.23 explains why, as the billing authority, Stafford Borough Council has a statutory requirement to maintain a separate fund. The net position on the collected fund, collection fund for the year, was a surplus of £371,000. And after taking account of the balance brought forward in relation to previous year's surpluses, that leaves a net surplus on the fund of £1.754 million as of 31st March 2023. But before we get too excited about that, our share of that is £176,000, about 10%. And paragraph 5.25 states that Stafford Borough Council's actual retained business rates income is in line with the income and expenditure account. So I ask the Cabinet Leader to agree the recommendations which I made earlier.
Thank you very much, Councillor Cook. Any questions for Councillor Cook? No? Well, I thank Councillor Cook for that. Everyone happy to move on and accept the report? We move on. Thank you very much. The second item is fees and charges review 2024. Councillor Cook.
Thank you very much, Leader. This is the fees and charges review 2024. I wish to propose to the Council the fees and charges for 2024 and to recommend them to the Council for approval, specifically, and to recommend to the Council for approval, specifically the new charges in paragraph 5.9 and the increases above 9% in paragraph 5.11. Now, July is the guide month for inflation for our fees and charges review. And in July 2023, inflation was running at 9% on the retail price index. And it is that which, by statute, by law, that is the price index which we have to benchmark our fees and charges against. So we're looking at that one of 9%. Had it been the consumer price index, it would have been rather less than that. It would have been about 6.9%. But we have to go by the retail price index for this exercise, and that was 9%. It's always higher than the CPI. So that is what we're aiming for. However, after that, in general, certainly where officers have delegated authority, charges will rise by generally 6%, allowing in some cases for rounding. But round about 6%, just over 6% rise, is the generality, which actually you'll notice is less than the CPI and certainly much less than the RPI, which is what we're going to benchmark against. It should also be noticed, you know, that fees and charges, they don't just have an impact on 1 year. They have a direct bearing on, yes, the 24-25 budget and beyond. These things don't go away. They're there in the budget and they've got to be worked on each year. Now, the budget for 23-24 identified, and may I say, the budget for 23-24 was really, of course, produced as part of the medium-term financial strategy, you know, earlier on, and that is not our doing. We've come in 23-24 to a budget which is already formed to a very, very large extent. Our first budget will probably be next year, 24-25. So, in a sense, we're looking backwards to legacy stuff from a previous administration. So the budget for 23-24 identifies an initial budget gap of about £240,000. Mm. Now, I mean, you could say that gap is relatively small, but there is no certainty, and I repeat, no certainty as to what the financial settlement for the 24-25 financial year is going to be. We haven't a clue what the government's thinking about at present. Usually it comes out just before Christmas, and then everyone scurries around like blue bottles to try and get the thing sorted out. And we don't know what's in the government's mind, such as it is. But it's unlikely to be coming up in the near future. And in fact, our budget figures for 23-24, do depend upon a significant savings which have been built into the budget, which is now being considered. Apart from the risks regarding future government support to local authorities, we've got a potential recession, there's a cost of living crisis, and that'll have a direct impact on council services. Essential services that the council provides will probably be in greater demand, and benefit payments and debt defaults could also be rising. So there are all sorts of uncertainties in this budget, which we've got to take account of. Then, of course, there are costs. There's costs of pay, our employees, suppliers, contractors, all likely to rise significantly over this year. The scope for the council to increase income in proportion to inflation is limited. We have no control, absolutely no control over business rates. Council tax is effectively capped at present at the higher of 2.99% or £5. And we don't know what the government's going to do in the future. Whether it'll raise this, lower it, scrap it, who knows? Thus, I would say, if we're hoping the cavalry in the shape of central government to appear over the hill to help us, I think we can think again, actually. And if they do appear over the hill, it may not be terribly helpful anyway. So we must therefore consider the projected budget gap, where we've got to consider that. when we make discretionary decisions over income and expenditure. In short, leader, the higher the yield from fees and charges, the smaller the budget gap, other things being equal, which reduces, of course, the need to find savings elsewhere. We can't have it all. But one would have to bear in mind other factors. For example, other things being equal, the higher the charge for a service, the lower the quantity demanded. The magnitude of the change depending on the elasticity demand around that price there. Also, bear in mind that relatively high charges may exclude or discourage some customers from using council services when they may depend upon such services. And of course, relatively high charges could have an adverse effect on the local economy, for example, parking charges. So in general, the schedule shows an increase of about 6%, some slightly higher due to rounding, and of course, we do have to round up the new charges in some cases, and that could be to the nearest 10p, £1, or £10, and that can distort the increase. Some charges, of course, are governed by external regulations. We have no control over those charges, or in fact are based on a cost recovery basis only. But we don't have control over those, and those are identified in the schedule in any case. Now, as I said earlier, there are a number of fees, charges that are proposed to rise. To be frozen to begin with. And these are shown in paragraph 5.8. For example, market fees. They have been frozen due to the current trading environment. There are also some new fees shown in paragraph 5.9, such as an early morning cremation service. That's a new service that's being provided. There are also some fees which are proposed to be deleted in paragraph 5.10, such as course fees for food hygiene training and the replacement of lost season parking tickets. Certainly the former, one would want to have those fees removed because you want to encourage as many people in that field as possible to go in for food hygiene training. That's good for all of us, actually. Now, paragraph 5.11 lists some proposed fees above 9%, such as some crematorium services, and that's due to the rise in suppliers' costs. Suppliers are putting up their costs to us. We can't then necessarily accommodate all those costs. We also have to pass that on to the consumer. Then, of course, there's the garden waste, though the famous or perhaps infamous garden waste recycling scheme. Now, that reflects a planned increase in the 23-24 budget cycle. That was planned before the administration changed. So that is a planned increase. And also, the fact is that in the last year, the price of that was frozen. I can't think why it happened to be frozen in that particular year, but I'm sure people might have been guessing. But of course, that means that instead of rising incrementally over a couple of years, you have to scale a pretty high cliff because nothing, no extra was charged in the year before. So instead of having a £3, we now have a £6 because that's got to be made up. And there was no provision for it, or for freezing it, or whatever, in the budget which was produced for 23-24. Parking charges for evenings and Sundays, that could be more than 9% because it's going up from £1 to £1.10. And that's a 10% rise. But of course, our parking machines can't, I understand, handle anything less than £10. They can't handle 5p's. Now, if we were to rejig all our parking machines so they could handle 5p coins, Holocaust is an awful lot of money, and I'm sure many people think that was a bit of a waste of money. So of course we can't do anything more than put it out by 10p, which is 10%. So technically it's 10%. It, in fact, it's a very small, a relatively small item. Parking charges in Stone, you see, for 1 hour. They have gone up by 10% as well, again due to rounding, from 70p to 80p. I would remind members here that the general increase is about 6%, and that's less than the RPI and even less than the CPI figure. A copy, I would add, of all these fees and charges will be available on the members' portal before the council meeting and published on the website once approved by council. So, Leader, I propose that the proposed fees and charges for 2024 are recommended to council for approval.
Thank you, Councillor Cook. Very comprehensive report. Thank you. Anybody got any questions for Councillor Cook? No, do we agree we accept the report?
Aye.
Thank you. We move on. Thank you very much. We move on now to the Local Council Tax Reduction Scheme 24-25. And it's Councillor Cook again.
Well, it's me again. It's like buses, isn't it? Right, Leader. This is the Local Council Tax Reduction Scheme 2024-25. And it's actually in brackets, as though it was an authorization to consult interested partners on any proposed changes. This report is to update members on proposals to review the Local Council Tax Reduction Scheme from the 1st of April 2024. And to seek approval to formally consult persons affected by the proposed changes as required by legislation. Now, the history, actually, of the LCTR, which is what I'm going to call it, rather than the Local Council Tax Reduction Scheme, prior to April 2013 and post-April 2013, are set out in paragraphs 5.1 to 5.4. In the latter part of 2022, if we can fast forward to near the present, in the latter part of 2022, the council, being aware of increases in the cost of living and energy bills creating difficulties for those on the lowest income, agreed that the 80% cap on working age residents be removed for the financial year 2023-24. Strange how it happened in that year again, this reduction. No provision, however, was made in the budget for 2024-2025 by the previous administration who worked up this budget. No provision was made for 2024-2025. And therefore, the scheme would revert to 2023 levels. Now the change, in fact, in 2023-24 involved additional spending of around 350,000, of which Stafford Borough Council met 10%, because that's our share of the tax rate on council tax. So we met that, and of course the bulk of the rest was taken up by, was contributed by Stafford County Council and the Police and Fire Commissioner. And they were actually probably paying a higher share than we were. Well, they did it, they coughed up in 2023-24, but that was for 1 year only, with the cap being reintroduced from the 1st of April 2024 in the absence of a further resolution. Well, a further review of the scheme is promised to be undertaken in 2023 and has been undertaken. Continued enhancement of the scheme in 2024-2025 is not affordable. There's nothing built into the budget for it, and also our partners would have to agree. It's not affordable, and so the 80% cap will not be reintroduced from April 2024. Now, whilst not as generous as the 2023-24 scheme, the 2024-25 scheme will achieve the main scheme objectives which are set out in paragraph 5.7. Paragraph 5.8 also identifies some more efficient methods of working as a result of the review. Now, the consultation and changes will be in respect of those issues in paragraph 5.8. And that is the end of my talk on that matter.
Thank you very much, Councillor Cook. Any questions for Councillor Cook on that? No? Do we accept the report? Thank you very much. We move on again, and surprisingly enough, it's Councillor Cook again. This is the Strategic Risk Register.
I just haven't had the papers with me. Right, now this is, yes, this is the Strategic Risk Register, something different. The recommendation, of course, is that Cabinet approve the draft Strategic Risk Register and consider the progress made in identifying and managing these risks. All strategic risks and associated action plans have been reviewed, and the Council's current risk profile is as summarised in the table on paragraph 3.1. That gives you what it looks like at present time. Now, these remain at two red, so we've got two red risks, and we used to have six amber risks in April, 1st of April. As from September, we've got three amber risks. So three of those amber risks have dropped out. The definition of risk and the aims of risk management are covered in paragraph 5.2. The Council's approach to risk management is set out in paragraphs 5.3 and 5.4. And a summary of the risks is attached at Appendix 1. I would point out that the three amber risks have been deleted, and the red list has been amended in one case to exclude one contractor. Now, these are shown in paragraphs 5.7. It should also be noted that removal of risk 38B, one of the amber risks regarding HS2, was perhaps prescient in the light of the recent announcements concerning that hapless railway line. The two red risks we still have are finance, and I suspect that risk will always be with us, and key contractors risks, and these are discussed fully with mitigating actions in Appendix 2, as are the amber risks. The amber risks refer to the economy, organizational resilience, and cyber attacks, if you want some excitement. And therefore, Leader, I ask that the recommendations be accepted.
Thank you, Councillor Cook, and thank you for all your reports today. Thank you. Any questions? Councillor Fulton.
Page 46, the announcement to C1 highlights, of course, the sensitivity of funding from central government with respect to business rates, new homes, bonus, etc. I'd just like to confirm there's still, subsequent to this report, being no indication of when we might receive that information. And a supplementary question would be, in previous years, when has that information landed on our desks?
I'm sure the Chief Finance Officer will be delighted to answer this.
Can you just confirm that on C1 financial risk, we have still received no indication from central government as to when support will be declared to us? That is the case, we still haven't. Yeah. And in previous years, when was that information received?
To be honest, it varies. It tends to be December time, a bit of final stuff. It's quite late on.
Happy with that, Councillor Fulton?
Thank you.
Any more questions? Thank you. Have you set the report?
Yes.
we move on. We switch portfolios now. We're on to community portfolio, and it's the PSP update report, September 2023. Councillor Hood.
That's been carried out in relation to the application for a public space protection order under the Anti-Social Behaviour, Crime and Policing Act 2014 in Stafford Borough, and to seek approval to implement those proposals. Recommendations are that Cabinet approve the implementation of the new PSPO and put the recommendations forward to Council. We ask approval to be granted for the proposed use of CCTV for the issuing of fixed penalty notices for breaches as set out in the report. PSPOs can only be granted for 3 years without consultation carried out prior to renewal. PSPOs in place now expire on December the 6th. They've been successful in reducing the complaints we receive and have identified with antisocial behaviour reduction. Council wants to stop antisocial behaviour in all areas that have been identified and recognise the investment we're making in our town must not be undermined by that antisocial behaviour. The repeated complaints we as a council and the police receive affect the quality of life of our residents, traders and visitors. We want people to have confidence in coming to our town and enjoying it. PSPOs will go a long way to ensuring a better quality of life for all. We're proposing to set the age limit at 14 years, but in exceptional cases, community safety officers will discuss the cases with our legal colleagues for those between ages 10 and 14 years causing issues on a case-by-case basis. Those who are 18 years plus will receive a fine of £100, which will be reduced if paid within 10 days. PSPO breaches by vehicles driving through pedestrianised areas of Stafford and Stone will be identified by CCTV, and in working with the DVLA, fines will be issued directly to registered owners. Hopefully word of mouth and publicity of the fines will begin to deter those who decide to ignore that they are driving in a pedestrianised area. A PSPO consultation of 6 weeks took place with a total of 130 responses, with 78% in agreement to the restrictions proposed. Approval is sought for the renewal of existing PSPOs covering Stafford and Stone town centres with the following restrictions. Restriction of busking and amplifiers, Stafford and Stone town centres. 84 said yes, they agreed to the restrictions, that's 65%. Restriction of feeding of birds, 68 said yes, 52%. Barbecues in public open spaces, 91 agreed, 71%. And finally, extending the existing restrictions in relation to dogs to cover all parks in the borough and to exclude dogs from children's play areas, 111 said yes, 86%. Antisocial behaviour can and does impact on health, especially mental health. With PSPOs in place, we can make sure that we reduce that impact. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hood. Any questions for Councillor Hood? Okay, do you accept the report?
Great.
Thank you very much. We'll move on. The next one is Councillor Hood again. It's Stafford Housing Options Precious and the Emergency Accommodation.
Thank you. From Homes Plus, taking our number of units to 15 for emergency accommodation. This will fulfil our statutory function to provide emergency accommodation and will reduce our spend on bed and breakfast. 2022-2023 saw a challenging and difficult time for our housing options team, with an increase in demand for housing advice and help including for emergency accommodation. Normally in the summer months, demand reduces, but this just didn't happen. Provision in the borough for the single homeless with multiple needs are difficult to find, and the team has to find accommodation outside of the borough, which is understandably often refused by the individual. Demands on housing options has increased in volume, excuse me, and the complexity of support needed. It's difficult to find permanent housing being met, especially when support needs are not there. We have a statutory duty to provide emergency accommodation for households who are eligible for assistance, meaning the homeless with a priority in need. In addition, we are obligated to provide emergency accommodation for those who have nowhere to go that night in severe weather. Our team must respond to working with services to access longer-term accommodation for rough sleepers, and as they are often not met in our remit for statutory provision for emergency accommodation. This will put extra pressure on our emergency provision, as it is the only local off-the-street offer we have. We have increased our units of leased accommodation from 7 to 9 with the Bailey Guest House, which we are currently using for family placements. We can only house families in bed and breakfast for 6 weeks, as there is a need for more leased accommodation. Government funding has helped us to provide 5 rough sleeper units with humankind housing. The Homeless Prevention Fund has also been increased for Eagle House, run by Midland Hall. And the same fund has contributed to 8 units of specialist prison release accommodation with Yellow Ribbon. The units have a waiting list. The temporary accommodation review was considered in the spring and recommended that Stafford increase its portfolio of 15 emergency accommodation units to 35. In the hope it will eliminate the need for expensive bed and breakfast. We do not have the staff to manage more than 15 units of leased accommodation. For 15 units, the total cost would be £64,680. The spend to date on bed and breakfast is £147,294, with final costs of circa £353,505. For 2023-24. The government is committed to ending rough sleeping by 2025. Committing to ending rough sleeping is a bold statement, and one that I do not see that will be achieved within the financial climate we are facing. Health, well-being, and local housing provision are linked with suitable emergency accommodation and housing for rough sleepers and households. Our team will work with the help of friends to support networks, health providers, and staying global to have a positive impact in the borough. I would just like to say that Anna and Nevin and the team work tirelessly, and we are extremely fortunate to have them all. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you, Councillor Hood. Any questions for Councillor Hood? No, we accept the recommendation?
No.
We move on. Thank you. C, it's the environment portfolio, and it's the only annual report. Councillor Fordham, would you like to say a few words on this?
Yes, thank you, Leader. I refer you to page 68 of the report. The purpose of the report is to provide Cabinet with the only annual report, which is attached on page 73 and service improvement plan covering the period April 22 to March 23. And the recommendation is that the Cabinet note the information. If I could just pull out a few details of importance. And the first is a reminder that the Council outsourced the recycling and waste collection and processing of dry recycling to Veolia. The current contract commenced 4th of February 2018 and is due to end 3rd February 2028 with an option to extend to 3rd of February 2038. And the management of the contract includes monthly contract meetings and quarterly partner and committee meetings between the Council and Veolia. A few key figures on the work that they do. Firstly, 49,000 tonnes of recycling materials and waste was collected over the last financial year. Secondly, a remarkable 99.95% of collections were completed successfully, and that equates to over 4.2 million collections. And the final point is that a recycling rate of 46.26% was achieved This is above the 44% county average for all district and borough councils in Staffordshire. And so, returning to the recommendation, leader, I hope the cabinet will note the information. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Fordham. Any questions on the report? Councillor Pardesi.
Yes, thank you. Just a comment, really, that generally speaking, our collection rates are very impressive. But I hope we can get the message out that that also includes any bags of small electrical items or recyclable materials, that if they've not collected, it's not because our staff have left them behind, it's because it physically can't be fitted onto the lorries, and that we can make our residents aware that if they can't wait for the next collection date, if they contact the borough, an arrangement will be made to have that bag collected earlier.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Councillor Hood.
Yes, thank you. The missed assisted collections. This has been a problem over a number of years. I see that we have managed to decrease the numbers. The unfortunate thing is that normally when they're assisted, some of these are waste that we wouldn't want leaving. And when we've got nappies, which adults use, we can have very often it results in the bins overflowing. And I just wondered why it is that they miss so many. What's the answer to this?
They miss so many.
Well, I would call 298 a lot. Although it's gone down to 194.
Out of 4.2 million, but it's too many. Yeah, it's too many in the sense there shouldn't be any.
I just wondered if it was something that you could.
Yeah,
take
I will look into that.
Thank you, Councillor Fordham.
Thank you for that. Any more questions? Have we set a recommendation?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. And that concludes the written agenda. I'd just like to do a bit of any other business, if that's okay. You may recall that I wrote to the government and the train operator locally regarding the closure of the ticket office at Stafford Station. I'm delighted that the government has done a U-turn on the request to close ticket offices. They provide a valuable and much-used service and would have been greatly missed. Mm-hmm. And I am delighted the government have U-turned on this. So let's continue buying our tickets at Stafford Station ourselves. Thank you. And that concludes the meeting tonight. Thank you very much for your attendance.